the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
In the name of Allah, Salam
And peace be upon all of you, dear friend. You are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio on Sunday, 12th of Shawwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Ordibehesht, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of April, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar.
Around yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's stop questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
For blessing this moment, let's listen verse 32 of chapter Al-Anbiya.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وجعلنا السماء سقفا محفوظا وهم عن آياتها معرضون.
And we made the sky a protected ceiling, but they from its signs are turning away.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In view of the fact that the mere stillness of the earth is not enough for the comfort of man's life, and he must also be secured from the upward, in this verse the Quran says, "And we set up the heaven as a roof well protected, and yet they turn away from its signs." The objective of the heaven here is the atmosphere which has encompassed the earth from every side. According to researches of the concerning scientists, the depth of this atmosphere reaches to hundreds of kilometers.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran.
شكرًا يا ربي شكرًا هديت قلبي شكرًا نورت دربي شكرًا شكرًا يا ربي يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرًا يا.
The topic of this episode of today's special is about Islamic view on clean earth and environment. Throughout the universe, the divine care for all things and all pervading wisdom in the elements of creation may be perceived, attesting to the all-wise creator Allah, the most beneficial and merciful. The glorious Quran has made it clear that each thing and every creature in the universe, whether known to man or not, performs two major functions. A religious function in so far as it evidences the maker's presence and infinite wisdom, power, and grace, and a social function in the service of men and other created beings. Allah's wisdom has oriented that His creatures all shall be of service to one another. Over-exploitation, abuse, misuse, destruction, and pollution of natural resources are all transgression against the divine scheme. Because narrow-sighted self-interest is always likely to tempt men to disrupt the dynamic equilibrium set by Allah. The protection of all natural resources from abuse is a mandatory duty.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Ali from Our English Radio, and we are trying to be with you and talk to you about Islamic perspective and how we should interact with the environment that surrounds us. Here, we'll try to briefly present some aspects of the Islamic perspective on environmental ethics in the light of the Quranic verses and Islamic narrations and hadith. But the parts that we were supposed to cover was nature, governing rules in Islamic environmental ethics, virtues related to human treatment of the environment, and vices related to human treatment of the environment. First, we start with the nature in general. There are more than 750 verses in the Quran that are related to nature. 14 chapters of the Holy Quran are named after certain animals and natural incidents such as the cow, the cattle, the thunder, the bee, the ant, the daybreak, the sun, the night, the fig, and the elephant. Moreover, there are many cases in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by some natural phenomena like the dawn and the fig and olive. In numerous verses, the Quran states that all the natural phenomena have awareness of Allah and glorify Allah. Allah says in chapter 38, verse 18, "And we made the mountains and the birds to celebrate our praise along with David." Again, we have in chapter 17, verse 44, "And there is not a single but that it glorifies him with his praise, but you do not understand their glorification."
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special,
be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
We're speaking about protecting the environment, and one way is conserving our resources as much as possible. Conservation of resources is an important practice to ensure the resources that we still have can be kept available and have much use for them for as long as possible. In a hadith, we read, Rasulullah Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny passed by, said while he was performing ablution. The Prophet said, "What is this extravagance?" Sa'd said, "Is there extravagance with water in ablution?" The Prophet said, "Yes, even if you were on the banks of a flowing river." Wastage affects the environment greatly and could cause huge problems for the world and its inhabitants. As such, conserving what we can will help combat unnecessary wastage. This could also be practiced in our daily food consumption and electricity usage across appliances, amongst others. Such efforts are a key part of climate change's strategies to reduce greenhouse gas emissions that contribute greatly to global warming.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see is thanks to you.
This is today's special and the role of water in the environment. Allah has made water the basis and origin of life. Allah says, "We made from water every living thing." In chapter 21, verse 30, Allah mentions that plants, animals, and men all depend on water for their existence and for the continuation of their lives. Allah commanded with regard to the people of Thamud, the tribe of Thamud, and their camel, the long experience of Muslim jurists in the allocation of water rights in arid lands has given rise to an outstanding example of the sustainable use of scarce resources, an example which is of increasing relevance in a world where resources which were once abundant are becoming progressively more scarce. Now we'll listen to Sayyid Baqir al-Qazvini.
There's pollution. Some of the cities, some of the world's largest cities and most populated cities, there's always pollution. For example, city of Los Angeles in California. You will rarely see Los Angeles on a clear day without smog on a beautiful day. There's always smog from pollution. Isn't this ruining the environment? Isn't this destroying people's health? Isn't it causing people cancer and other illnesses that we didn't have before? Why is this happening? Why do we have so many hurricanes that are occurring more often? It's because of the pollution that we have, because of global warming, because of the factories that we have, because of the technology that we have. These things didn't exist before. It's because of technology. It's because of what's happening. We're advancing in one way, technologically, when it comes to communication, when it comes to transportation. But at the cost of what? At the cost of the environment. We're ruining the environment with this pollution, with all these factories. It's all taking a toll. And what's the worst part? What's the worst part? This is a problem. And things are not getting better. Things are not improving. Things are going to get worse and worse every day. Every day we're going to see more hurricanes, more tornadoes, more wildfires. The world is becoming warmer every year. Summer is going to be worse. Where places in which they never thought of even owning an AC, now they have to have an AC. I was in the UK in the summer. None of the hotels have air conditionings. That tells you that previously their weather was good. Otherwise, why wouldn't they have air conditionings? Now they have to. Now they have to install in every home, in every mosque, in every hotel, air conditionings in Europe, Greece in the summer. The wildfires that happened in Greece and the dozens of people that died were ruining this planet. Our factories, our companies, our pollution, our technology that's helping us on one side, but on the other side, it's ruining our planet. It's destroying our environment. Sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad wa alayhi wa Muhammad.
And that's all for this episode of today's special about environment. Inshallah, we continue this topic. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection and blessing. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Take peace. pieces of bread from me. And your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble tradition and hadith, which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. This hadith goes back to something that occurred for the Prophet on his night ascensions to the heavens. In other words, the Mi'raj, when the Prophet was taken to heaven and he ascended to heaven, something transpired and the Prophet related this to people and it became a hadith which has been related and transcribed and was passed down to us. This hadith is a part of a very lengthy hadith which has been narrated in the famous book regarding the night ascension, which was written by a famous scholar, Daylami. In the tradition in which the Prophet's ascension to heaven was recounted, God Almighty has been related and narrated to have said the following to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam: O Ahmad, be continuous in my remembrance, meaning continuously remember me, always remember me. When God said this to the Prophet responded by saying, O my Lord, how can I be continuous in your remembrance? How could I remember you always? I got a lot of things to do. I got to go to work. I got to go to school. How can we continuously remember God? We have other things to do as well. A lot of people say that. We can't constantly read the Quran or remember Allah. But we want to. How can we do this? In response to this question, God Almighty replied to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying the following: Through seclusion from people, despising the sweet and sour of the world, and clearing your stomach and your house of the world. Right? So he mentions, God Almighty mentions a couple of things which, if accomplished, can lead to constant remembrance of God. And this could be interpreted in one of two ways. It could mean that by doing these things, it could give us the opportunity and the capacity, create a capacity and a power within us to remember God. Meaning if we don't do these things, it's preventing us from remembering God. Or it could mean that these acts could serve as a substitute for the remembrance of God. We can interpret this hadith maybe in one of these two ways. The first thing that he mentions, God mentions, is seclusion from people. It doesn't mean that we go and live in a cave away from the people, right? It could be that we stay away from bad people, or it could mean that we are with people, but we don't adopt their bad habits, right? It could mean that we limit our gatherings with people and accompaniment of people to the least amount that is necessary. We can interpret this in one of these ways. Despising the sweet and the sour of the world, right? When we say world here, we mean things that bring us further away from God, not necessarily the physical beings of this universe, because these are the signs of God. And cleaning our stomach and our house of the world, meaning not having unlawful things, not having unlawful food, not eating unlawful foods, and these kind of things. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at things which bring about continuous and constant remembrance of Allah in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are with brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider. Everyone is fine?
Yes, sir.
All right, Hussein is fine. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir.
All right, and Hassan?
Fine, sir.
So everyone is fine, alhamdulillah, here. So brothers and sisters, we hope you are fine and happy, inshallah.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
Today, we really welcome you all. We will work on Ayah 69 of Surah An-Nisa on page 89. So, brothers and sisters, I really recommend if you have your Quran, open up and turn to page 89, Ayah 69 of Surah An-Nisa. Let's everyone, first and foremost, listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا.
Nice one, mashallah, nice recitation. That was great. Let me read once this ayah, okay? Then we'll have a short explanation what Allah Almighty says in this ayah. And secondly, we'll move on to the very important part of our class, the practical tajweed rules. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah Almighty says in ayah 69 of Surah An-Nisa, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وحسن أولئك رفيقا. So, very, very important point is going to be mentioned here in this ayah, okay? So Allah Almighty says, whoever, ومن, whoever, يُطِعِ اللَّهَ, obeys Allah Almighty, وَالرَّسُولَ, and the Apostle, فَأُولَئِكَ, they are, مَعَ الَّذِينَ, with those whom, أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, Allah has blessed, alright, the one who obeys, or whoever obeys Allah Almighty and His Apostle, the Prophet, they will be with those whom Allah Almighty has blessed them. Who are they? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, including the Prophets, وَالصِّدِّقِينَ, the truthful, وَالشُّهَدَاءَ, the martyrs, and والصالحين, the righteous people. وحسن أولئك رفيقا, and excellent companions are they. Means they are excellent companions. So what I have to tell you, what I have learned from this ayah, like in the tafsir books, so I'll mention shortly, then inshallah the rest of them, the details, you have to refer to the tafsir books. 2-3 points. First, this ayah tells us that if Muslims, Ali Nasir, Hassan, Hussein, Fawad, if Muslims, okay, if any of you, if Muslims wanna obey Allah Almighty, okay, wanna accomplish their responsibilities, their duties, okay, in Islam, according to Islamic rulings, they must follow the sayings, the teachings, or the commandments of the Prophet. Okay, because man yuti' Allah, Allah Almighty says Himself, the obedience to Allah Almighty, next to the obedience to Allah Almighty is obedience of the Prophet. So it means if you are obedient to the Prophet, it means you're obedient to Allah Almighty. Why? Because Allah Almighty Himself has chosen the Prophet and sent to you to listen to Him. So when we listen to the Prophet, it doesn't mean we listen to a person. A normal person, okay? We're listening to Allah Almighty because Allah Almighty has sent him, alright? So he brings the teachings of Allah Almighty, the rulings from Allah Almighty. It's not from his own, okay? وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He doesn't talk out, like his own words. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. All of the revelations, all of the words of Allah Almighty. That's the first point, okay? The second point here could be this. At the end of the ayah, Allah Almighty says, وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. What does rafiq mean in English? Huh? Companion, friend. Huh? So, Hussein, if you wanna make friends, do you make friends with any type of people? Any type of person?
No, sir.
No way. You have certain qualities for yourself. Criteria, yes?
Yes.
I want a friend who should be able to read Quran at least. Who should be able to, at least he should be responsible for his religious duties like praying, fasting, these things. He should at least do his prayers, okay? These things. Now, the thing is that if you, according to the Quran, if you we can infer this message. If you wanna make friends, you have to look for those who are religious. This is first point. Next, those who have a bit like closeness to Allah Almighty. Friends who can remind you of Allah Almighty. So there are a lot to talk, okay? I want you to refer to that tafsir books.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Let's move on with the Tajweed rules. Some important ones, brothers and sisters, as you're listening, we'll mention inshallah, then we'll practice the recitation. So, the first point is about the Noon Sakin. Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir Fawad. About Noon Sakin and Tanween, we have four different rules, yes? Based on what we have different rules? On the letter, based on the letter? Huh?
Noon.
Based on the letter that comes after the Noon Sakin or the Tanween. So here, whenever you have Ya, Ra, Mim, Lam, Waw, Noon, these six letters, you have to apply the rule. Idgham, merge the sound. Let's merge the sound. Waman, Yuti' changes to?
وَمَنْ
يُطِعْ. That's correct. يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ. You should stretch the sound because it's wajib. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Here you got a noon sakin. أَنْعَمَ. But the letter عَيْن comes right after it. So when the letter عَيْن, هَمْزَ, هَا, حَا, خَا, غَيْن, these six letters come, you don't change anything, just read the noon or tanween, okay, with the same sound of noon or tanween sound. N sound. An'am, that's correct, change nothing. Meaning, an'am Allahu alayhim, you got a mim sakin plus mim. Here, you should stretch the sound a bit, extend the sound of mim, okay. An'am Allahu alayhim minan. The noon mushaddad the same. Mim mushaddad the same. Noon mushaddad the same. Extend the sound, okay? And also produce a nasal sound. This is called ghunna. An'ama Allahu alayhim minan nabiyyina. Alright? Was-siddiqina was-shuhada. Make sure you pronounce the shadda correctly. وَالشُّهَدَاءِ. The mad is wajib, extended for six counts. وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. رَفِيقًا changes to رَفِيقًا. Okay, تَنْوِينَ فَتْحَ changes to أَلِفْ مَد. So these 3, 4, 5 points, important tajweed rules, if you apply them, okay, the rest of them are very easy. Now I will recite it. Make sure you repeat after me. Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Brothers and sisters, as you're listening, please inshallah practice with us as well to get it perfect. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ
وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ
فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين.
فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين
وحسن أولئك رفيقا
وحسن أولئك رفيقا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم brothers and sisters thank you so much for being with us we hope inshallah this session was useful for you علي ناصر فواد حسن and حسين thank you so much thanks a bundle inshallah Allah bless you inshallah Thanks for being with us. Allah Almighty bless you all. See you in the next session. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail, the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss.
فَإِنَّكَ قَضَيْتَ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِكَ بِعِبَادَتِكَ وَأَمَرْتَهُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ وَضَمِنْتَ لَهُمُ الْإِجَابَةَ فَإِلَيْكَ يَا رَبِّ نَصَبْتُ وَجْهِي وَإِلَيْكَ يَا رَبِّ مَدَدْتُ يَدِي فَبِعِزَّتِكَ اسْتَجِبْ لِي دُعَائِي
Dear listeners, we have reached this excerpt of the Divine Kumail Supplication. فَإِنَّكَ قَضَيْتَ عَلَىٰ عِبَادَكَ بِعِبَادَتِكَ You have decreed your worship for your servants, وَأَمَرْتَهُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ You commanded them to supplicate you, وَظَمِنْتَ لَهُمُ الْإِجَابَ And assured them that they would be answered. Regarding this part of the Divine Kumail supplication, we said that there are different conditions and prerequisites to be met before we supplicate to the Almighty Allah. In fact, these conditions are the conditions of the acceptance of prayers. And when the Almighty Allah says, Ud'uni astajib lakum, call upon me and I will answer you, this does not necessarily mean that I will answer all of your supplications. There are those conditions that we need to take into account when we try to supplicate. Now, we were having a look at different traditions and the instances of these conditions that could be found in the traditions and the different verses of the Holy Quran. One of the scholars of Medina was Sa'id ibn Musayyib. He was praised by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and Imam Musa ibn Ja'far. Now, one day, Ibn Marwan sent a deputy to Medina to ask Sa'id, his knowledgeable daughter, to marry him. Sa'id told the deputy, "I don't want my daughter to marry the ruler of the country." One day, Sa'id said to one of his students, "Why have you been absent from the class for several days?" He answered, "My wife had passed away, so I was busy and I could not come." Now, Sa'id said, "Take a wife for yourself." The cleric student said, "I have nothing except 2 drachmas. So Sa'id told him, "Do you want to marry my daughter?" He answered, "As you wish, sir." So Sa'id made his daughter the wife of his student. For 40 years, Sa'id had not gone to anyone's home. His student says, "That night, Sa'id ibn Musayyib came to my house along with his daughter. So he left her with me, and then he went back. Then I asked her daughter, 'What do you have?' She said, 'I know the Quran by heart.' And I asked her again, 'What do you want as your marriage portion?' She replied, 'A tradition suffices me.' So I told her this tradition: 'Jihadul mar'ati husnul taba'ul.' A woman's jihad is performing her duties to her husband." We will continue this tradition after the break.
Verily, you have ordained for your servants your worship and bidden them to supplicate unto you and have assured them of your response. So, my Lord, I look earnestly towards you, and towards you, my Lord, I have stretched forth my hands. Therefore, by your honor, respond to my prayers and let me attain my wishes. And by your bounty, frustrate not my hopes and protect me from the evils of my enemies, from among the jinns and mankind.
Thank you, Allah, that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, feeling the peace all around, seeing things we can never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
So, dear listeners, this pious, righteous, and sincere, I mean, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, says, "There was once an extreme famine in Medina. People went to the desert to pray for rain, and I went with them too, but I saw no one worthy of being accepted by Allah from among them. I saw a black slave who had put his face on the earth beside a hill and was praying. His prayer was accepted and it rained a lot. Then I followed him to see that he went to Imam Sajjad's house. I asked Imam alayhi salam to give him to me. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam presented all his servants, but the mentioned one was not among them. I found out that there is another servant in the stable. So Imam told him, 'I have given you to Sa'id.' The servant wept excessively and told me, 'O Sa'id, do not separate me from my Imam.' Seeing this, I left him and I exited Imam's home. After I left, the servant, whose secret of being pious had been disclosed, put his head on the ground and asked Allah for his death, which was accepted at once. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam sent for me to take part in the servant's funeral. Dear listeners, this is how important is sincerity in acceptance of the supplications. In this case, you know how important it is, and you know how practical this can be, that the supplicant supplicates to the Lord without even being known to the others. So, this sincerity in asking the Almighty Allah is one of those important prerequisites of acceptance of supplications that can be inferred from the different verses and, of course, the traditions. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Rabbana,
ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
Rabbana, Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Rabbana, ya Hayyu, ya Qayyum, nawwir qalbana.
You are listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be examining a very important question. That question is related to one of our most important and central tenets. What I am referring to is prophethood. So the question that we want to ask today is, what is the reason why the prophets were delegated and sent, and the apostles were given, you know, wahi and revelation and knowledge? What is the reason behind it? Or to put it in other terms, what are the benefits of prophethood? What benefits did this have for, this phenomenon have for mankind? In response to this question, we can take recourse to the verses of the Holy Quran, as well as the traditions and hadith of the infallibles. In one verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following: Verily, we raised an apostle in every nation to preach, worship Allah, and keep away from the rebel, or keep away from the tyrants. Then among them were some whom Allah guided, and among them were some who deserved to be in error. So travel over the land and then observe how was the fate of the deniers. Right? So in this verse, one of the reasons for the delegation of the apostles has been mentioned as being the salvation of mankind from the tyrants and the taghut. The prophets came to rescue people from the enslavement to the rule of the tyrants. In this connection, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he said the following: Allah blessed and most high sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam with the truth to bring out his servants from worshipping his creatures into worshipping him from the covenants made with his creatures to his covenants, from obedience to his creatures to obedience to him, and from being under the rule of his creatures to his rule. Meaning God Almighty, he sent the prophets before the delegation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People were following the rules of other human beings like them. They were obedient to them. And in certain cases, they might have even been worshipping them. Like, for example, we see in the case of, other prophets. Like, for example, in the time of the Pharaoh, the people, before the delegation of the Prophet Moses, the people, his nation were, they used to worship Pharaoh, who was another human being like them. Right? So, the Allah Ta'ala, and he sent these prophets so that he can guide the people and save them from, the yoke of their bondage to other human beings. Right? This is, again, another one of the beautiful benefits of the delegation of prophets. And obviously, this implies that, there's always a constant, there was obviously a struggle involved here. A lot of hardships occurred. It's just not something that, could come about so easily, as we tangibly see throughout history. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the reasons for the delegation of the prophets in the light of the Quran and the Hadith. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program The Key, an IRIB English radio with Sheikh Shiraz, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
You can also send your questions to EnglishRadio at irib.ir.
Deterrence. Part 3.
In the early hours of the morning of Wednesday, the 8th of January, 2020, 13 Iranian missiles destroyed the Ain al-Assad U.S. military base in Iraq. Before the attack, U.S. President Trump had warned that if Iran attacks U.S. interests, Washington will target 52 sites in the country. And people across the world have for long wondered why the U.S. did not respond to Iran's missile attack. The advance and upgrade of the Shahab generation liquid-fueled missile by Iranian scientists in the early 2000s led to the production of Iran's first long-range missile. Improving the range of missiles is one of the most important factors in the missile industry, and Iranians